Hi everyone listening, my name is Yessi and I was diagnosed with anxiety at 19 years old after my first panic attack. It's been 7 years since then, and throughout these years I've come to find I am not alone in the battle with mental illness. My purpose for starting this podcast is to collaborate with my friends and soon to be new friends in order to end the stigma around talking about mental health. Also while incorporating my love for the music that gave me the strength to find myself once again and help me focus on the upside to my mental illness. These are stories coming from people from all walks of life on their mental illness or habits they've developed to become more self-aware. This is The Upside.
And it's the play, and I know the play. To go where the wind takes ya. It's all fine, and I think you're fine. Or oh, have the wish to feel any better.
Hi guys, my name is Yessi, and this is The Upsides. I'm sorry, it's been a while since I've done an episode. I've been kind of not in the right mindset, I feel. Like, the whole month of May, I was really sick, so I just felt very shitty and, like, not doing anything. And I also couldn't go to the gym because I was sick, so that unmotivated me to do anything. And, you know, that's normal to have those months where you just don't feel like doing anything. So I'm not gonna, like, put too much pressure on myself to be like, wow, you suck, you didn't do the episode this month. Because I'm going to make it up to you guys now. I'm here with my friend Sam, by the way. Sam, say hi.
Hi.
So I believe it was last week where we had, unfortunately, the loss of Kate Spade and also Anthony Bourdain due to suicides. And it really got me thinking about how a lot of people aren't speaking up about what they're struggling with, and how it's super important to continue to do this podcast for that reason, so that we can continue to talk about mental health and focus on helping others feel comfortable speaking about it. I also had a friend who had gone to the hospital that week because they tried to commit suicide as well. So it was a very tough week last week. I was kind of thinking of things that I should be doing to be better in the sense of being there for people, not be so caught up in like my own things. And thankfully I got accepted into a master's of social work program. Yay. So that's going to be good because I'm going to be learning more, and you know, in the future, my goal is to give therapy. So I'm excited about that.
Can I interrupt you if I have a thought?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when the whole Anthony Bourdain thing happened and everyone started posting things about how, like, reach out to your friends or reach out to someone, or you have people who love you, blah, blah. And it just made me think, I'm sure that those people, when they're feeling like that, that they do reach out, but you can always fall back into it, and sometimes you don't have the energy to reach out, or you think you already know what people are gonna say, or like, I feel like if you need help, someone else needs to be the one to reach out. And even if I say I'm fine, If you say that you're fine, but I can see that you're not fine, mm-hmm. I need to take the initiative and say, okay, you're not fine. Like, you need help. Let's go get help, even though you say you're fine. And because sometimes, God, this sucks. I'm gonna
ask. No, it's fine. Go ahead. Finish your thought. But yeah, I get you. The person, it's not so much about putting so much pressure on them to reach out. It's more us being good friends and noticing when, you know, those patterns of people, like, you know, not hanging out, and you kind of notice, like, they're drifting away, and that's when you should come up and say, hey, like, what's going on? Are you okay? And then if they say, oh, I'm fine, still make an effort to kind of make sure that they know that you're there for them. Mm-hmm. And just keep, you know, the communication going to make sure that they're all right.
It just really sucks because the person, you really won't get better unless you really want to get better. Because you can go to therapy and you have all this help to you. But if you yourself don't want to get better at that moment, you won't get better. It really, like, it comes from within.
It does.
The healing, like.
You have to make the choice of, I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to strive for more and then go on from there. And sometimes it's hard because, honestly, it is. Sometimes it's just chemical imbalance in your brain. And so, like, there's not much that you can do at that point unless you go get help. And then from there, it's, let's say they prescribe you medication, then, okay, you got to work along with the medication to continue to stay motivated to keep getting better. So let's talk a little bit about you. So you and I think I've spoken, we always talk about, like, our mental health. And, well,
from the beginning we didn't, though.
Yeah, I think it was, I don't know how it came to be, but it was just, I think there was just a day where I'm like, hey, I get anxious when this happens.
Did you have any anxiety in high school?
No. Not in high school, it was college.
So, when I was having anxiety in high school, I didn't think that it was anxiety. I guess I obviously didn't know what anxiety was and that I was going through it, but, and I'm not really still 100% sure what caused it. It just came out of nowhere. It started happening out of nowhere. It was senior year. I would be sitting in class, and all of a sudden I would just zone out. I wouldn't hear what the teacher was saying, and I would just picture myself in the scenario of, damn, like, what would happen if I needed to throw up? Like, everyone's gonna see me throw up in the middle of the classroom. Like, that's so embarrassing. Okay, how would I do this? Would I run out? That's still embarrassing. Everyone's gonna be like, why is she running out? I just put myself in these crazy scenarios and how I would handle them. And then I just felt my stomach turning, and I would feel like I had to throw up. So I would actually use the bathroom. I would walk out, walk around the halls, and I would never actually throw up. I would just feel like I needed to throw up, and I didn't understand why. And then it started happening, like, very often, and I used to call my parents to pick me up from school because I couldn't imagine the thought of walking back into the classroom and sitting down. And then it got to the point where in the morning driving to school, and I remember your mom would give me the alcohol pads. So I would be in my car driving to school and I would start gagging. And I never, that happened so many times, and I never not once threw up. It was just, I was so anxious for no reason at all. And I missed so many days of school because of that. And I'm not sure how I eventually got it under control, because I obviously went back to school and it did go away for a bit, but I don't know what I did that made it go away. But it came and went, and I have no reason behind it.
So my mom would always, whenever I did, like, have anxiety when I was younger, I just didn't know that it was that, because I would get that same stomach nausea, like, I don't want to be here, like, already, like, butterflies in the stomach feeling. Excuse Kiwi, she's scratching herself. But yeah, my mom always told me, like, oh, just take, you know, smell the alcohol, focus, and then, like, take deep breaths, and then that's what I would do, and that's what would relax me. So that's what my mom would give her the alcohol pads for. And that's what you'd be like. But yeah, that's the sucky part about anxiety, is that you work yourself up in your brain and, like, your body starts reacting, but there's not really a threat. Like, there's not really a threat. It's just all you making it happen. As far as, like, you know, you don't know the real reason why it started up until at that point and how it went away or at which point it went away. But there's a lot of different things that could have affected it.
Is that looking back now, when it started happening, it was something subconscious. So it was something like I was in a situation that I didn't think was affecting me, but obviously it was. And then when I was finally out of that situation is when it did stop happening. But in the moment, I didn't know.
And then it didn't happen for a bit. And then it came back in college, right?
Yeah. So about a year later, it came back. And actually, no. A few months, like after graduating, I would be with someone who I wasn't 100% comfortable with. And I mean, I guess that's kind of normal to, because you know, when you're around someone new, you can't, like, I can't eat around someone new for some reason, I don't know. And that made me really anxious just to be with someone new, and I couldn't eat. But I don't. It wasn't really the same kind of anxiety. I didn't want to storm out the door. But when did it really come back? So we can talk about my first panic attack. That happened about 5 years after graduating high school. I was in a relationship. I really didn't want to get into this, but basically, just in a relationship that I didn't see my self-worth. I felt like I wasn't good enough, which was, you know, I know I'm the shit, so it was like, it was very weird for me, and I didn't handle it well. And I stayed with that person, not really forgiving them, but I still stayed with them. And I feel like that was the issue. And it just, I had zero self-confidence. And just subconsciously, I just started, like, I wouldn't sleep at night. It's not that I was thinking about how shit I am, like, why am I not good enough? I wasn't thinking about that. I just
couldn't sleep.
I just could. It was just at that time that was what was happening, and then when I would feel anxious, it just came out of nowhere. It wasn't anything that I was thinking about how shitty I am or why someone would do this to me. And I was driving home, and I woke up one day and I felt really, really weird. I felt like I needed to take a shit. I had the shits, but I wasn't actually shitting. And I felt weird the entire day, and then I started to just get a little bit jittery. And I was about 2 hours away from home that I had drove by myself. I've had never driven that length of a ride by myself. And just the thought of how I have to drive back home on this road that had no gas stations, no exits. Like, I started thinking, like, oh my God, what if my car breaks down? Like, just thinking of every negative scenario. And so I was just thinking that the entire day, and the entire day I was just super uneasy. And then when I finally, the plan wasn't to drive back home that day. I was gonna sleep over, I forgot where it was like in Naples or something. And I couldn't, I don't know, I was just very uneasy. And I called my mom and I said, Mom, I don't know what's going on with me. I feel really weird. I feel really anxious. She was just like, why are you feeling anxious? Like, why are you sad? Or you have this and you have that and you have nothing to be anxious about. And I just couldn't explain why I was anxious to her, and she didn't get it. And then I just remember driving back home. She said, come home. And tomorrow I'm going to take you to a psychologist to find out why you're feeling like this. And I drove home, and I was on the phone with her, and I just started crying, and I didn't know what was happening inside of me. Like, I was super jittery for no reason. I just woke up that day, and I just felt so uneasy. And after that, for a week, I barely ate. I couldn't eat.
And didn't she tell you she was going to take you to a psychologist, but you didn't end up going?
No. It's that... For her and for me, like, just, It's like saying like, okay, there's something wrong with me. I need to go see a doctor. And so that's how she, that's, it's my mom. Like, that's her perception of psychologists. Like, you're not well and you need to go see someone. And she doesn't she just thinks that I need to relax and be thankful and all these things. And she doesn't understand that it's nothing that I'm thinking about. It's just happening.
But yes, you find the underlying cause, like, you'll never be able to identify, like, oh, when this happens or when this is happening around me or subconsciously, then this is why I react this way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're never going to be able to, like, not control it, but, like, understand it and be like, I get it. I feel a little anxious because X, Y, Z, and now I know how to handle it.
Right.
Simple. But until, like, it's just like if you have a stomach ache or, like, really sharp pains or something, like, you go see a doctor. It's the same thing, and that's what people need to start seeing, that it's not taboo to go see a psychologist or therapist or psychiatrist. Like, it doesn't mean that you're nuts. Like, it just means that you need a little help and you need to find out what it is that's going on in your brain that's causing this, you know, feeling that you feel like you can't control your own body. Like, you're saying you were crying on your way home and you just didn't even know why. Like, you can find that why through there. And it's hard, dude, because, like, I think we've talked about this, but, like, our parents didn't have to think so much about their self-awareness because they had to worry about, like, war or, like, just putting food on the table. Like, they were so focused on that. Things were not easier,
also,
but the economy was better then.
Also, I feel like because in their time they didn't have phones, they were able to practice, like, externalizing everything, and they spoke a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I find days where I go and I don't speak at all the entire day. Yeah. And I feel like that also plays a huge part in what's happening inside of our, like, my brain. Like, my brain is always, like, I'm always having conversations in my brain. Like, my brain is always on 100. And I feel like back then when you didn't have phones, like, you would just, like, you would talk. Like, now, like, we have dinner and, like, we're on the phone. Or back then you would have dinner and you would talk to each other and talk about what you were going through that day. And now I text my mom what I went through today. Like, I don't verbalize it.
Okay, that's but at important. Least you're still talking to her, like, through text. High school, I would just talk to my friends through, like, AIM. Everyone was just chatting it up. But you still talked about your feelings and stuff. Like, I feel like it was still somewhat helpful. And you made new friends online. And it wasn't creepy like now.
Yeah, those days.
Those days were good. But, I mean, it is true, though, for the generation after us, like, our sisters, like, below, like, everyone who's 19 and under now, it's gonna be a lot harder for them to express themselves. At least we still got, like, a little bit of everything. They haven't experienced it at all. So I think that's why it's super important for us to, like, make mental health a thing, like, make it acceptable, because they're gonna have to get their feelings out somehow if they can't explain it, like, with their friends or whatever. At least with me, like, I talk to my friends about everything. I tell everyone, like, everything I'm feeling.
Yeah, me too, but
So, you started getting anxious while in college. This is how we started talking about anxiety, because I told you how, like, I couldn't go to class some days because I couldn't get myself. Like, I would be in bed with my eyes open thinking, like, okay, I have to drive there, and then I'm going to get there, and then where am I going to sit? Who's going to sit next to me? Oh my God, what if I have to use the bathroom when I'm there? Like, am I going to bother the person who's sitting next to me? Like, I'm thinking about all these external things that I might, like, bother someone else, and not really thinking about me, or, like, just not thinking at all. Like, not normal people, but, like, regular people who don't suffer from anxiety don't have these thought processes that I have, where I'm just, like, thinking.
Yeah, we think so far ahead.
Yeah, and thinking all the possibilities, all the outcomes, and just stressing yourself out about it, which is dumb. But that's, you know, that's just how our brain works its way out, you know, so what are you going to do? So we started talking about that, and you told me, oh, that's happened to me before in class. Especially you were in those big auditorium classes.
Yeah, I always have to sit. Like, I could never sit in the middle of a row. Like, I always have to sit on the outer edge just in case I'm in that scenario where I have to, like, leave in the middle of class. I can just easily, like, walk out.
Yeah. And, you know, it sucks because, like, my grades suffered a lot because of that. Because I couldn't get myself to just go and do it. It wasn't up until, like, I think it was, like, a full week that I didn't go to school. I didn't go to work. I was just, like, just numb. And I said, you know what, like, I need to go see somebody.
That was like, the worst. That was the worst point in my life was the summer that I had took off, that I wasn't working and I wasn't going to school. Like, I would wake up every morning and just be in bed for hours because I had nothing to do. And day after day doing that, I had no motivation to do anything. I just woke up and just stayed in bed. And then that lets my mind wander, and I had some really dark thoughts. Sometimes it would get so dark, I would be like, Samantha, what the fuck? Like, why are you saying this? Stop. Stop right now.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's fine to, like, take some days to relax, but once you take too much, it's just... No. So when did you finally decide, you know, like, I need to change or something in my life so that I don't...
When I first started feeling it, I talked to my dad about it, because my dad has felt everything that I've felt, so when I talked to him about it, he just gives me advice, and it's basically... Like, he's another one that doesn't believe in psychologists, and he's dealt with it for so long, and he never got better, so I don't understand. But he says that he's seen a psychologist once, and that it didn't really help him. And
but if you see them once,
doesn't it? I know. And he would just tell me, you know, not to believe what your brain is telling you, and to be in the moment, and all the cliche stuff. And... I mean, it did help me.
Just knowing that you had someone, like, that was supporting you, that was there for you, that you can go speak to.
Yeah.
When you were feeling that way, that would understand you. That helped.
But one thing he didn't tell me that I just started doing on my own was, because when I start feeling anxious like that, I put myself, like, in this perspective that's just really dark, and... I just try to think, like, when I'm having those anxious thoughts, I try to put myself back in a time where I felt myself and I felt normal and I wasn't anxious. I put myself back in that day and try to see the perspective that I had that day. And just, like, just brighten my perspective, and usually that helps. And then I kind of try to laugh at myself for thinking like an idiot. That usually helps.
Bring yourself down, that helps.
What never helps is, like, succumbing to it. I'm not saying that word right. Succumbing to it, yeah. And leaving class, or just leaving the situation, because once you do, you need to stay and realize that nothing's gonna happen. Stay in that situation until those anxious thoughts blow over, and then afterwards, and you see that you're fine, you'll be like, okay, next time that this happens, like, I will remember that nothing is gonna happen, like, I'm fine. But if you just get anxious and leave, then it's gonna be a lot harder to come back.
Yeah, because then it just gets easier and easier to just isolate yourself and not do those things.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think everyone has to, you'll figure it out on your own. Because I know I left a lot of situations that I didn't feel comfortable with. And that's fine. Because that means, you know, you're not ready for it. And that's okay. You just have to remember to try again the next time. Something my therapist said was, like, if, you know, you're going to be somewhere for a certain period of time, stay, like, 5 more minutes. Because, mm-hmm. like, my brain works, like, okay, I know at this time, like, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm leaving at 6, right? So I'll be okay. Once it's getting closer to 6, I start getting anxious. I'm like, okay, I gotta go. I'm gonna be leaving soon. I don't feel good. I gotta go. And I'll be telling my boyfriend, like, hey, like, it's time to go. Like, we said we're gonna leave at this time. Let's go. And he's just like, oh, yeah, you know, because they're, like, in their own world, too. Like, and that's okay. Because they're not thinking what you're, like, all of, everything that's going on in your mind is not going on in their mind. They don't know that you're, like, struggling here. So she says, you know, stay a little extra, and then you'll see, like, okay, like, I did 5 more minutes and I was fine. And then keep adding time, mm-hmm. and then from there you'll be comfortable, like, as many hours, like, you won't be thinking about it. But yeah, just, like, kind of challenge yourself in those situations. Be okay with feeling uncomfortable, but of course if you feel too uncomfortable, you can't manage on your own, then get yourself out of that situation and just try and, like, relax. I remember one time we were eating dinner and you got really anxious. And
for my birthday.
Yeah, for your birthday. Yeah. And I didn't understand why, because we were, like,
with the same no idea
group
why.
Of people I was hanging out with, but yeah. Just that day, you were just not.
It's just, when it was happening, I just felt like everyone was.
Well, you told me that you felt like your throat was closing up.
Yeah, so in my mind, I was very excluded from conversations in my mind. And I started just zoning out, which I hate when that happens. Yeah. Like, when that happens, like, I zone out, and then my body starts shaking a little bit, and then I just say, I have to go to the bathroom. And so I would get up, and I did the gagging thing. That's the same thing that would happen in high school. That was the only other time that it really, like, it was really prominent.
I don't know if it's because, like, I am doing better, but I remember in the past, like, when I wasn't on medication and I wasn't doing the things that I'm doing now, like working out and just being grateful and stuff, I would get those, like, zoning out feelings, like those feelings where you just feel kind of like on the
it's like outside the first looking step. In.
And I remember I used to call you and I'd be like, hey, like, do you want to go for a drive?
Yeah.
Because
I didn't even know that was why you wanted to go for a drive.
Yeah, because I felt.
And I'm over here saying, I'm tired.
I mean, it's fine. Like, who the heck wants to go on a drive at, like, midnight? But, like, just those things did help, though. Even though, like, you didn't know why you were doing it. Like, why were we doing this? Like, it helped me, one, I zoned out more, if that makes any sense, because we were listening to music and I was just kind of like in the car looking outside the window.
But it's still like present moment uh-huh. zoning out, like you're still in the moment, which is very important.
Yeah. And then we would just talk about stuff, and then that talking helped me. Like whatever was bothering my mind, I would just speak it out there, and then we would have like junk food and feel better. Yeah. So, like, those things helped me kind of, like, get through it. Because I didn't just stay in my room by myself. I was like, okay, I got to get out. Yeah. Because if I stay here, I'm just going to keep, like, at least I was talking to somebody else or doing something.
Yeah.
And
keeping busy, for sure, helped me a lot. And in the summer that I had, like, my darkest time, I decided to get a dog. And that was also the best thing that's ever happened to me. But it's part of just staying busy, like, keeping your mind in the moment and, you know, doing something with your hands or just focusing on something that's not these crazy thoughts. And so, yeah, getting the dog and having, like, a purpose every morning helped.
Like, having to feed her and stuff. And plus, they give you so much love.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always had, a dog, so I didn't know if that really helped me or not. But I mean, I do love my dog, so she's my child. But I do know of people, you know, emotional support dogs who do help people who are,
which aren't allowed anywhere.
They're allowed places now. I think everyone's becoming more dog friendly. But yeah, let's talk about, like, resources. I want to mention resources. So basically, if you have health insurance, you're lucky and you can call your insurance plan and they'll literally tell you what providers are in your area for mental health, whether it be a therapist, a psychiatrist, psychologist, whoever. So that's good. And you also have, there's that app. I know there's like multiple apps, but the one that just came to mind is BetterHelp, which is, you literally can like do an online chat with a therapist. I'm not sure how much they charge or whatnot. I don't know if they use insurance, but I mean, that's out there now. And that's cool that it's like online because you can just easily, like, maybe you don't want to like verbalize what you're thinking and you can just text it.
Oh.
So it's, I feel like for some people who don't like reaching out, it would be easier to do it through a message as opposed to over the phone. Like if you were to call the suicide prevention hotline, you would have to speak. But now I also saw that the suicide prevention hotline has a chat. If you go online, you can chat with them there too. So that's pretty cool. If you don't have insurance, I know it's extremely difficult to kind of get the help that you need. What I would suggest is, like, first of all, like, speak to somebody. Like, speak to a friend. And just start creating, like, positive habits. You can start running. There was a period of time where I didn't have a job. So I just tried to, like, force myself to run every day. And it really did help because I felt in a better mood. I felt productive because I had done something that day. And it just feels good to run.
Honestly, working out, like, made me feel so normal. Like, even, like, when you're at the gym or you're working out with a friend or someone, like, just, there's something about doing physical exercise and sweating that makes you, you don't think too much about what you say when you say it. You just say it, like, you're just very relaxed and open. And, like, when we're at the gym, like, I'm the friendliest that I've ever been. Like, I don't know. And there was, like, an episode on Queer Eye that, Anthony's like running or no, they're doing like a kickboxing or something, and the guy who's like usually super shy, like, he just like opened up while they were there doing that, and Anthony says something, I forgot what he said, but yeah, like, working out makes you,
what,
like,
episode was that,
feel normal. I think it's with, fuck, I don't remember. I think it's the guy that's a comedian, maybe, or I don't know.
They went running.
No, they didn't go running. They were boxing.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're right.
He,
but it was the first
something.
Time that he made eye contact
exactly.
with the guy. With,
it's the comedian guy, right? I think it was that episode.
Yeah, I think he was.
Because he usually doesn't...
No. It wasn't the comedian. It was the app developer.
Oh, right. You're right. Yeah.
By the way, I mean, they're not going to sponsor me, but Queer Eye, new season tomorrow. That show's amazing.
You it's tomorrow?
Yeah, you guys gotta watch it. Like,
yeah.
That show's...
It made me happy and sad.
So lighthearted. I love it.
Yeah.
I cry every episode. But yeah, you know, working out. If you can't afford a gym, just run. Like, go to a park and do some sort of physical activity. I promise you, like, you'll feel better. You'll be healthier because, you know, your body needs that. Try eating better. Like, I feel like that's also, like... a big difference in my life at this point. Like, I'm eating better. I'm not eating so much junk food. I still eat junk food, but not like before. And I'm trying to cut down very like greasy foods. And I do feel, you know, better. My bowels movements are good. So
yes, I've always had that problem. And I started eating not... Well, yeah. Basically, I just cut fast food. That's all you have to do is cut fast food.
And drink more water.
And drink more water. And there it goes.
Yeah.
Down the toilet. Bye.
And I feel like, honestly, that has, because I, well, when I would get anxious, like, one of my things was my stomach. So if I was, like, not healthy and I was eating crap, imagine as soon as the anxiety kicked in. Like, it was just like, you have to go take a shit. Like, you have to run to the bathroom now. And now, like, because I have regular bowel movements, it's, like, not that much of a big deal. True. I still, like, I'll get a stomach ache here and there, but it's not, like, a big deal. And another thing that I would really get stressed out about was pooping. Like, I would just get really self-conscious about, like, having to poop when I was somewhere else other than my house. And I feel like I've gotten a lot better at that. Because I'm like, you know what? Everybody poops.
YOLO.
It's normal. You only live once, you gotta poop.
Yeah.
No, but it's true. Like, why, like, And now I just talk about it. I'm just like, yeah, well, I gotta go poop right now.
You know? Yeah. It helps to just...
talk about it.
Yeah, not be ashamed. And just say whatever the fuck you want. Because when if you say what you're thinking, like, it just puts you more...
Yeah, like, hey, being a little anxious right now, I may or may not fart. So, just be aware.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just talk about that stuff. Talking about keeping busy, you know, create a schedule for yourself where you include time to kind of think about your day and focus on, like, the good stuff that happened that day. I read the book The Magic, where it just basically teaches you, forces you to put 12 things that you're grateful for on paper and then verbalize them. And honestly, like, as you do it for 27 days. And after that, like, it becomes a habit. And now I do it almost every day. So either, you know, while I'm driving on my way to work, or if I'm in the gym and I'm just doing the warm-up, like, I'll be saying, like, oh, you know, I'm grateful for this and that. And it really does help put you in a more positive mindset and kind of see all the good things that you have surrounding you.
There really is something about, like, actually verbalizing what you're saying, like, instead of writing. I mean, you can write it down, but also say it out loud. I don't know what it is, but I told you, like, that one day, I hate to say that I've only tried it once, but I tried it once, and it fucking worked. Like, I said 10 times, like, it was a new job, and I was struggling, and I said out loud 10 times, like, I'm gonna be a fucking badass today. Like, I'm gonna do my job, and I'm gonna do it good, and I'm fucking smart. Like, I got this. I said that 10 times, and that day, like, I was so smooth and sharp. Like, I had such a good day at work after saying that morning.
Yeah, I forgot to talk about that, too. Like, how you've had been feeling anxious at work as well.
Yeah. I just, once you get through it, you just learn. Like, I think we underestimate our minds and our body. Like we, if we have to go through something, like we're gonna get through it.
The reason, there's a reason why this is happening.
And you're not the only one, too, though. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's a new job, obviously you're gonna feel anxious and overwhelmed. Like, you're new. There's a lot of things that you don't know yet, and you can't be so hard on yourself and, like, expect to know everything. And so if you make mistakes, like, don't be so hard on yourself. And I was being hard on myself, and I was getting really anxious if I messed up. Or actually, I was anxious, and because of that, I was nervous, so I was messing up because of that. And when I just learned, like, to let it go, like, I'm new, I'm not gonna know everything, and just be more relaxed, that's when I started making less mistakes and just really, like, grasping everything that I was being taught. And it went away. Like, I wasn't anxious anymore. You start to learn, and then once you know your shit, like, you can be relaxed, and it just got better every day. And
yeah, just take the pressure off on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. Like, you're just learning, and it's a progress. I mean, process, and, you know.
Like, if you're doing something and you feel anxious about it and it's hard, like, if you just try to get through it and just know that you're gonna accomplish it, and you're gonna learn, and then it won't be so scary anymore. And that's with everything. Anything new is gonna scare you while you're doing it, and just, like, don't give up. Like, that's not so cliche.
No, but yeah, just tell yourself, like, I will get through this, I will be fine, and say positive things to yourself. Don't get yourself in that, like, wow, I'm gonna ruin this, I'm gonna be horrible, I'm gonna get, you know, I'm not gonna say the right things. Like, instead, turn those negative thoughts into positive thoughts, and, you know, hopefully it does help you feel like a badass and do what you have to do. Another thing that really helped me was reading self-improvement books, however cheesy they are.
You are a badass. I love that book.
That book is amazing. It's cheesy, it's corny, whatever, who cares? Like, read it. And, like, most of these books are written in a way that it's not, like, boring. Like, mm-hmm. You feel like the person's talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does help, because you see someone who went through something hard and overcame it, and now it's teaching you ways that the way that they kind of went, like, got through it, and you can use the same tools that they used in order to get yourself in a better place as well. But yeah.
Today I read some pages from that book, and she was talking about just basically that you're not gonna feel like a badass every day, but on the days you're not feeling like a badass, look back on the days that you were feeling like a badass and know that you are a badass. But that, and then also that song that I showed you that I really loved from Kalani, that's 24/7. Mm-hmm. She talks about no one feels like no one feels
good all the time.
Good, yeah, basically. It's very normal to have shitty days.
Yeah. And I like that more, like, celebrities and, you know, the media is kind of bringing up more about mental health. Paramore's new album is amazing, After Laughter, where she's talking about her depression and anxiety. And that's good that she's putting it in, like, a positive, like, tune. Like, the songs aren't, mm-hmm. like, they don't sound sad. She's talking about sad things, but they're very upbeat. And you know, you can see someone that other people can look up to and be like, oh, hey, you know, she's going through this and I can go through this and we're going to get through it together.
I really liked, like, the upbeatness of the songs. Like, I feel like, especially I take life way too seriously. Like, to have songs like that that talk about, yeah, what we're going through, what we're feeling, but make it upbeat makes me, like, just not take life so seriously.
So what would you say your upside from, like, having anxiety is?
It made me a lot stronger to have gone through it and overcome it. Like, I still, day to day, I might feel a little bit anxious, but nothing like I have in the past. And if it does come back in that, and that intensity, I'll know I've gone through it before. I'll go through it again and be fine. I'm glad that I've gone through it now, and I've had family and friends who have helped me through it. That way, if there comes a day that I am on my own, or I have a different set of friends, or I'm gonna be living on my own soon, so I'll just know, like, I can do this. Like, I've done it before, and I'll get through it again.
What are, you've tried different things to, like, what's the word? To, like, cope with anxiety, like, different techniques and different things. Like, the essential oils.
Yeah,
the peppermint. Talk about that.
My cousin's wife, she's, like, really big into essential oils, and she told me about them. She also has a certain level of anxiety, but basically I just did a lot of Googling, and just like, for example, peppermint, just to smell, like, I would start putting a little drop of peppermint under my nose, and that just, it brings you to the moment, and you focus on the smell, and that helped me a lot in the beginning of my job when I was feeling really anxious.
Right, it grounds you.
Yeah.
I've tried using the stones. They would always break. But it did help for a little bit, like, because you feel the texture of the stone and you kind of focus on that, and that you can use that to ground you. And then there's also the, you know, the five senses that you can use to ground you. What you see, what you smell, what you hear, what you feel. And I forgot what the fifth one was.
Honestly, sometimes when I try doing that, it just makes me feel more anxious, because I think about I think about how I'm needing to do this technique, which means I'm anxious, and holy shit, I'm anxious.
You're like, I smell pizza. Oh my god, I don't feel
I'm
good.
Just like, if for anyone who hasn't tried, like, I can't tell you how to do it, but just, it's like changing your sunglasses into a pair of sunglasses that just make you see and feel the way that you did when you were feeling good, like
when you were 12.
No, not even, like, just like, you know how when you smell, you, when you smell a certain perfume, yeah, or when you hear a certain song you haven't heard in a while, it takes you back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, taking yourself back to a month ago or 2 years ago, that you felt like yourself and you felt normal. And you weren't looking at life like this dark hole. You're so alone. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I do that a lot. I have my playlist, my that glory days me, playlist. Like, so I feel like a badass when I'm listening to it, because I remember being, like, super comfortable back then. Like, I wouldn't even think twice about going out with friends or meeting new people back then. now I'm like, I don't know. Where are we going to meet them? Are we going to their house?
That's the thing, though. Like,
how many bathrooms do they have?
When I make the, when you invite me out and I make the decision, like, okay, I'm going to go out. If I see that my mind is starting to already think about something in the future, I just try to shut off my brain. Like, no, we're going to talk about what song am I going to play right now while I'm driving in the car. Like, just think about right now. Do not think about parking or what if I get there and then I feel like, no, like, just right now.
Yes, it's the way to do it.
And it's scary because it's something that, like, you need to put the energy in to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to control your fucking mind. Like it's just like, you need to put in the energy and do it. Like, it's not just gonna come on your own. And that's kind of scary sometimes.
Yeah. But I mean, this first step is being self-aware that you have to do that, you know.
And also, even though you have to put the energy to do it, just know that, like, our brains are fucking, like, amazing. And just, all you have to do is try, and it's, like, you can do it. You can do it.
And we'll end on that note. You can do it. If you set your mind to it, you can do it. But thanks, guys, for listening. I hope to get more episodes out this month. If you have any questions, our email is theupsidesfm@gmail.com. Still waiting on some emails so I can respond to people or have a different topic to talk about. I really want to get into social media, so if you're down to meet up and talk about social media and how that
social media
affects mental illness, then, you know, reach out, let me know, and we can plan something. If you have any other coping techniques or habits that you've put into your life that has helped you, you know, become more self-aware or just improve your mental health, then, you know, send it in an email and we can talk about it, or you can also meet up with me and we can talk about it over the podcast. Let's just really continue the conversation of mental health, and, you know, I hope that this is doing good for somebody. Yeah, I hope you guys have a good night. Or a good day, depending where you hear this.
Bye. Bye.